and welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you can get a fresh drink for life. This is Tyler Robbins from Calvary Baptist Church, and with me as always is Pastor Tim Robbins, my dad.
How you doing?
And my assistant and brother Levi.
Hello.
So, real quick here, before we get started, if you guys remember, we're doing the mug drawing, so we have all the tallies put in here, and we're going to announce the winner today. Pastor, would you like to do the honor and draw a name from the hat?
Yeah, it's me. No, I'm kidding you.
You already got one. Stop it.
All righty. The winner is...
Lauren. Okay, well, that's not fair. She's in our church. That isn't fair. Whatever. Okay, she'll win today. Real quick here, I know that she entered in a bunch of entries into my Twitter account. I got probably 400 of them.
I was going to say, I think something like 200 of them.
It was ridiculous. And she was sending them to me every day. If you want to win, feel free to message me as many times as you want. She actually sent me one long direct message on Twitter with her name about 1,000 times.
Yeah, it was funny because she sent it so many times that Twitter flagged her as being suspicious.
Yes, they blocked her account for spam for a while. Anyway, so, yep, she won today. She'll be getting her mug probably this week. If you want to win, feel free to enter. We're actually going to do another drawing here. I actually have a couple extra mugs that we had made up. So keep entering. We're going to give away another mug.
Please do.
We're going to give away another mug here at the beginning of May. So feel free. Anyway, we're also looking to give away some other merchandise. We're looking at making some t-shirts and stuff like that. And once again, I say merchandise, we're going to give it all away.
Yep.
I mean, our pastor, Dad, what's our motto at our church?
Freely receive, so freely give. So
we always just want to give it away.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus never charged anybody for anything. And I was part of churches where they would say, where God guides, God provides, and then they charge you to come to their conferences, and they charge you to go to their schools, and they charge you to go to their colleges. And
well, they call them love offerings of three, love offerings of $29.95.
Listen, most of them got to a place now that they just charge it, but they'll let you come for free if you don't have the money. I appreciate that, but I think, to me, I feel like I don't want to get to heaven and stand before the Lord and say, I charge people $29 to come to my conference, or $39 to buy my book or something like that. And mm-hmm. You're going to come to our church. Our school is free. Our books are free. Everything we have is free. And as long as we have the money, you can have it. And if we don't have it, then we'll pray it in or something, because mm-hmm. we're not going to charge. And if you want to give money towards that, that's fine. You know, people will contact us like through the radio broadcast or even through our podcast or whatever, and they want to send in money, that's fine. But we don't ask for it. We just ask the Lord for it, and we just give everything away.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of the time we just have all of our ministries and stuff. We don't get any money from it. A lot of times it seems like we're almost in the red, but we just love the Lord and we want to serve Him in any way we can.
God has done nothing but take care of our church. And in the 15 years I've been here, there've been times where it's been, you know, 7 years of lean, and then there's been the 7 years of plenty. And some years are like Jubilee, and some years are like, oh dear Lord, are we ever going to get it through? But God always comes through. He's never failed us nor forsake us. And like David had said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
Absolutely.
And we've never been in that position yet. So
one thing I can really appreciate about the Lord is we have had surpluses before in the past, but He always has provided us our daily bread no matter what.
Yeah. And, you know, Brother Suter years ago, I remember him saying something. He said, one thing that he learned about the Lord is this, is God is never early, but He's never late.
Mm-hmm.
God is just it's perfect time. Like I said, sometimes it's daily bread, sometimes it's in abundance and because of your diligence or whatever, but that's exactly it. So, anyway,
I don't know. I think that this is a great testimony. But anyway, back, kind of down a little rant there. But if you want to keep entering for a mug, we're going to do another drawing here at the beginning of May. So feel free to keep entering. I've got three more to give away with about another dozen. I can order it any time and have them ready the next morning.
Yeah, how about we do that? Every person that contacts you on Twitter, we will personally send them a mug.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean,
maybe a t-shirt if we have those ready yet.
Sure.
Constantly working on those.
So I'll have like 6 profiles ready to go and just enter them as many times as I can.
You can't win. Stop it.
Can I get one in yellow and orange, red, blue, and
So. Yep. So let's just do that. Let's, instead of having another contest for a giveaway, if you contact me on Twitter, I'm going to make sure you get a mug or a t-shirt or some kind of merchandise that we're going to be giving away.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to try to look at different things that we can do. We have a lot of things at our disposal. A lot of local businesses are willing to work with us. So, yeah, I mean, just contact us. We'll get you out something that you can be proud of. I promise you they are professional looking.
They are sharp.
I'm very proud of these mugs, actually.
Could you take a picture of one of the mugs and post it on your Twitter?
That'll work. Let's put that to our Calvary Baptist Twitter account. It's @bytheblood1. So it's @bytheblood1. If you go on there, we're going to post a picture of that mug. You can look at it. You can covet over it if you want. But if you reach out and contact either that that Twitter account, or you reach out and contact mine, @TylerRobbins, that's TylerRobbins, I'm going to get you a mug.
And could you send me that where I can retweet it or something?
Yep.
Or?
We're going to get that out. And okay. We have a couple people who kind of work as retweeters for our church that have a lot of followers, so we're going to get that out to all of them.
Absolutely, yeah. That'd be good.
Anyway, so about time to get started today. We're about 6 minutes in already. Let's go and get started for the day. So last week we were talking about what the true Christian life is.
Yes,
and
sir.
We asked three main questions to kind of start off this journey. The first one, of course, is what is death? And, of course, that is weakness at completion. That's whenever your body has reached its ultimate point of weakness. And then we ask the question, what is the law? And what is the law of spirit of life? So, Pastor, would you mind kind of reviewing us on that so we get started today?
Sure, yeah. Let me just kind of catch us back up. I said this. I said, you know, I'm interested in the New Covenant, the New Testament. I'm interested, of course, obviously, the Old Testament, Old Covenant. But we're under the New Covenant.
Yep.
We're not under the Old Covenant. And thank God we're not, because the law is perfect. There's no doubt about it. However, though, the Bible says the law works death. And not in the fact that it's bad, but it's good. It's just that it shows you evil, but it can't work righteousness because Jesus is righteousness. And so
we can't attain that law.
Exactly.
Anyway.
It's a good law, but it doesn't make you live. For example, we have a law that, you know, thou shalt not steal or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's a good law to have, but it doesn't revive someone who had died, or it doesn't make them live if they were dead. And so these are great laws. But the under the New Testament law, it's a little different. There's the law of the spirit of life, and we're talking about that. And as I said, I've asked these three questions in church, and with the first, of course, like you said, was what is death? And as you said, death is weakness at its completion. It's weakness at a place of extremity. And Paul said this. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death?" And really, what he's saying is this: is my body is dead. Well, you say, preacher, you know, my body's alive. I'm living. Trust me, I'm still fogging the mirror in the mornings, and the crook's in my back, and my knees are aching, or you know, whatever
still
it may
waking
be.
Up sore, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I am now. And you know, everybody. I used to tease my parents about being old, and now I realize how bad it is. And but that's not what we're talking about. That kind of death. We're talking about spiritually dead. Your body is spiritually dead. And he said, basically, your body is weak, and it's no longer, it's not possible. Once you're born into this body, your body is spiritually dead. It's spiritually so weak that it can never be strong enough or alive enough to be righteous before God or lead you to do something righteous. So therefore, the real you, which is your soul and your spirit that's inside of your body, is trapped in that. As I've used as an illustration, it's like a man tied to a fire or to a pole in front of a firing squad, and the firing squad's all circled around there, and they've heard the command, ready, aim, and of course we know the next word is going to be fire. And that's kind of how we're living our life. We're at the point of death at any moment, and then that means this: we can never do anything to be good. So Paul said, I'm a wretched man who should deliver me from this. He said, what am I going to do? I'm stuck in this body. I can never please God. And what am I going to do? I really want to. And so we said that Jesus is life. Okay. And so therefore Jesus comes along, and Paul, the very next verse, actually after that, Paul says that, you know, he thanks God for Jesus Christ because he comes along. As we talked about a law, the law, the Bible says the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore the law means that you have to be punished for your sin. And so Jesus comes along, but like we illustrated with the law of gravity, if I drop something, it's going to continue to drop until it meets something of greater resistance. Mm-hmm. You know, if I drop a millstone, I can't catch that. You know, that thing weighs, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 pounds or whatever, I ain't going to be able to catch it. But if I drop a ball, I can catch that, you know, or unless it's a bowling ball maybe. But the resistance is this, is something has to be stronger than what's falling, or the object's falling. And that law can supersede the law of gravity. And Jesus is so strong and so great, he's nothing but life. And being nothing but life, he is greater than all the rest of the law, and the fact that he comes along and he suffers, he lets the law be fulfilled by suffering for us on the cross. By taking our punishment upon us, as we're getting ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday here, just coming up shortly. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about Palm Sunday, they're coming this Sunday. But that's exactly what he did. He went into the cross. And so his law superseded because life is greater than death. The scripture says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Exactly. And so Jesus is now, he's greater than life, or greater than death, because he is life. And as we said last week, God works then to introduce his son to the world, because the solution of all their problems is not more patience or more money or a better job. The solution is Jesus, no matter what it is. You know, somebody says, preacher, pray for me. I need to be a little bit more wiser. No, you don't need more wisdom. You need more Jesus is really what you need.
Absolutely. I have a quick question here real quick. So
we're all sick here, and everybody's passing around these colds in the church, and this just keeps us all snivels and coughs and stuff. So we do apologize.
Anyway, real quick here, I have a question.
Sure.
So basically you're saying that it doesn't matter if you're lost or saved, your body is going to die, and it is failure. It's sinful, and you can't redeem your body, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then I also just want to throw this out here. So it doesn't really matter what kind of discipline you put your own body through. I know, like, there are people who like to do that self-flagellation, which is where you whip yourself and put yourself through physical pain to make yourself glory.
Yeah,
and the crucifixion stuff.
Yeah,
like
again, like you're saying, that it Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little.
It's kind of just worthless.
Yeah, it's not that it's not good. I mean, you ought to be a good steward of your body, and that's something that, you know, I need to really take more serious. I mean, as it's kind of like, do as I say, but not as I do. You know, it's
I think McDonald's is just as bad as going out and drinking. So, I mean. Yeah.
So well, let's don't say that, and because then I'm kind of a drunkard for McDonald's, amen. And it's good to keep your body in subjection. It's good to take care of it, because
be disciplined.
Yeah, because you want to keep the flesh in subjection to your spirit, because that's where God dwells, and so that you stay on top of it, and so that your body can be used. I mean, I get tired, or, you know, more tired easily, and so therefore I can't be as effective, or I'm weaker and I can't be as effective. I can't stay disciplined or whatever. So it's good to do those things. So don't misunderstand. It's not bad to be in charge or be on top of those things, but to afflict yourself. Listen, here's a trap that people fall into all the time. We think that we got to make these deals with God, like make if penance. We sacrifice something to him or pay penance or whatever. Listen, there was no greater sacrifice than Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that sacrifice took care of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Once Jesus was sacrificed for your sins, you come along saying, God, here, I want to sacrifice this for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough. I got to add to it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not how it works. There's no greater sacrifice than the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to sacrifice anything else. People say, well, if I give this up, God will give me. That's not how it works. Jesus was the sacrifice. And now your job is to find life in him.
Because he already sufficed for it.
Yeah, exactly. He's already paid for that.
Mm-hmm. He satisfied it.
That's why the Bible says all the promises in Christ Jesus are yea, and in him, amen. That means everything that God's promised in the Bible, according to his will, obviously, is available to us. And we don't have to do anything. We don't have to build an altar, sacrifice a lamb, or anything like that, because Jesus has already been sacrificed for us. And yeah.
I personally feel like, I know this is kind of off topic, but I just want to share this.
No, go right ahead.
I am so amazed that the thief on the cross has been such a huge point for people to understand what the true Christian life is. Because whenever he's hanging there dying, do you think he ever would have thought his story would have ever mattered or ever been told? Yet how many times...
That's something to think about, isn't it?
How many times do we think about how he hung on the cross and got to see Jesus, and then he kind of left his old self and clung to Jesus and was saved. I can't tell you how many times I use that when I'm talking to people about salvation, talking to people about what the old man is, what has been cast off for you. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Yeah, years ago I read, I think it was D.L. Moody. I think it was D.L. Moody. He had said that the thief on the cross, his hands were nailed to the cross so he couldn't do anything to get to heaven, mm-hmm. and his feet were nailed to the cross so he couldn't go anywhere to get to heaven. All he could do was just look to Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that's all he did. And he looked at Jesus and cried out to him. And of course, Jesus suspended above the ground there on the cross, just as Moses had lifted up the brazen serpent, just as Jesus said he would do in John 3. Then he could look to Jesus and be saved, just like you would look to those brazen serpent and be saved or be healed. He looked at Jesus and was healed, just like we do today. We look spiritually, obviously. And of course, he did too. Don't misunderstand. But, you know, he got to look physically as well.
Well, I think it's just, I was even telling this guy today when I was talking to him about salvation. He said that he believed that like baptism is important for salvation. I said, well, then where is the, you know, the thief on the cross? He wasn't able to get off and get baptized. I mean, mm-hmm. what do you do with that?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't crawl down and give him baptism.
Right. You know? Yeah, and I know there's some people argue, well, he was baptized before he even got to the cross, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's stretching.
How is it pertinent to baptism? How's pertinent to salvation?
In the name of the Lord, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Paul said, you know, I thank God that I didn't baptize the house of Stephanus, and he said, for God sent me not to baptize but preach the gospel. But long story short, you know, we can't get off topic here, but if baptism saved people, I would buy fire trucks, make it in the holy water, and go around and squirt people and take them to heaven.
Exactly.
I said that to somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be you choose Christ.
Exactly.
You have to choose that. You have to accept that. You have to believe in him. And that's what our argument's been all along, is by grace are you saved through faith, you know, according to Ephesians 2. But getting back to our topic here, we were talking about death, and we talked about the law of the spirit of life and stuff, and we said the Lord he knows the answer to all life's problems is his son. And that's why the Bible says he reveals his son to us. And if you read in Corinthians, Bible talks about God reveals his son from basically glory to glory for us. Basically, each situation, God wants to show more of his son to you so that you can, because he is life.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no death in Christ. He's eternal life. He lives forever. He cannot die. Because why? He's God. And so with that, you now have, once you come to Christ as your Savior, God's trying to introduce his son to the ghost. And he comes to live inside of you, and there, as he takes up residence in you, the Bible says your redemption. With that, now that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have all the life of Christ in you to draw off of. And here's where most Christians, this is the mistake that they make. Okay, when you become a Christian, you get Christ inside of you, and so now you have a new thought life, you have a new emotional life. And you have a new will, okay? The mm-hmm. the soul is made up of your, you know, what you...
Your mind, your will, and your emotions.
Yeah, exactly. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so now you get a new will. You get a new desire to... People want to go to church. They want to read their Bibles. They want to pray. They want to give. They want to do things for other people. They want to show kindness. They want to grow. They want to know more about him. And there's that desire to want to serve God and do things for God. Preachers all across the country are they want to do something for God. Their zeal is burning, and they want to do something for him. And Christians all across the country as well. Unfortunately, what happens is this: is whenever we get this new will in us, this new desire to do something for God, we tend to still fail. We tend to no longer be spiritual, and at times we still will get carnal. We'll still be sinful. And the reason why is we're still drawing upon our own strength. What happens is we get these thoughts pop in our mind: I ought to do this. And we have these new emotions where we have this love for God, we have love for others. We feel brand new because we're a Christian. We feel alive. But then we try to do it. We try to use our own strength to do it.
Oh no, I've never done that.
No, and so what we do is we lean on our own understanding. The Bible says, "The lean not on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him; he shall direct thy paths." when that happens, when we start leaning on our own understanding, we start failing, and when we fail, we don't know how to deal with that. Okay, our failures then create a problem for us, and so we have to resolve that. And a lot of what I found, I said this in church the other night, but I found is, I found that Christians have managed to fashion their old will and their old emotions and their old thought life to be so much like God that they call that spiritual. They'll have these thoughts pop in their head that are religious thoughts or good thoughts, and they have these new emotions or these feeling these emotions, and they'll go, "Oh, this is God leading me to do this." And what happens is this, is when they lean on that, they still don't find that they're effective. And they find that it just doesn't happen, and they wonder why. Then we have to come up with maybe just it's just not God's time. Maybe on the backside of the desert like Moses is right now, or I'm still making tents waiting on God to show me what to do like Paul or something. And this, the reason why is this is because we're leaning upon the strength of man, not leaning upon the Spirit. And so what happens is this, is we, these people who have disciplined their flesh to do that, we see them as leaders in our country, spiritual leaders. And we buy their books, we go to their conferences, we try to make our churches like their churches and so forth. And then sometimes they fall and everything else. And the reason why is, listen, I everybody's prone to fall. I could fall, you could fall, everybody could fall. And I'm not being critical, anybody falls, good night. I mean, if I was going to be critical of people who fall, the Bible says, if God marked iniquity, who could stand? I'd be hiding my head in the sand just like anybody else. What I'm saying is this, is they fall and then we go, oh, man, we got tricked or whatever. No, what it is we're all doing this. We're all leaning on this religious thought. And it's just the work of the flesh. And the reason why is God's not in it. We're all carnal. The Bible says we're not spiritual, we're carnal. And I know people argue and say, well, carnal means you're unregenerated. I don't think so. I think what Paul is saying there, I think he's meaning a backslidden Christian, okay? Sure. Or a Christian who's not living in the spiritual, living by faith, living in the spiritual realm. And so you have to learn how to draw upon the life of God. Now, if I had mastered this, I would things would be considerably different in my life, okay?
Yours and mine both.
Yeah, but I haven't mastered it yet, and I'm still learning about it. I'm still studying on it. And one of these days, hopefully, I'll be able to kind of get more consistent at it and be able to see God do something. Now, I'm not saying every church out there is fake or whatever. I'm just saying there's some good churches out there, but I think a lot of churches today that we think are good, really not so much. They're just like us. They're just a little more disciplined in their flesh and than we are, and these spiritual people and so forth. And again, I'm not being critical of anybody because good night. You know, I are one of those, you know, and, you know, I am one of those basically. And so, I mean, it'd be the pot calling the kettle black, so to speak, you know, and we're at least where, that's an old saying where I come from. But what I'm trying to say is we have to learn. And so if you study your Bible, God reveals that to us, or Paul reveals that to us in Romans 8. And so, does that make sense so far?
It makes perfect sense.
How are we doing on time? Are we doing
We're actually starting to run a little long. We're actually at about 24 minutes, just past 24-minute mark. So maybe we should cover a few more things here and wrap up in about another 10 minutes or so.
Sure. How about we share this? How about we talk about, or how about we share there what Paul says and how to get in this position, okay? In Romans 8:1, he says, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, okay? He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, here's what a Christian has to understand. The focus is the key to not living in the fleshly realm and fashioning your flesh and your old nature into a spiritual nature. That's not that's what we do. Okay, we're mixing. What we're doing is we're mixing our righteousness with God's righteousness, hoping it's going to be good, and that's not going to work. Okay,
never has.
No, never does. And so here's what you have to do: is this is the key to being spiritual, and this This is your spiritual living. This is your spiritual service. This is getting over a sin that plagues you. Because a good night, I got more than you can shake a stick at. Yeah, it's all of those things, okay? It's anything spiritual. The key here is found in the last part of that verse. He says, walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. You have to understand it's all about what you walk after.
Mm-hmm.
And so to what does it mean to walk after the Spirit? Well, I said this in church, I think it was, or I can't remember where I said it, in Sunday school church somewhere. That to walk after the Spirit means two things, okay? Number one is it's not a work. It's a walk. That means it's a lifestyle. The focus of the believer is not about what they do, but it's about their walk in God.
Absolutely. Okay?
If you don't get that down, then you're going to be focused on the work all the time. Now you're worried about how many kids I have in my Sunday school class, and how many I got on my bus route, and how many I got, and you know how much the offering is, and things of that nature. And it's a work. I mean, it's all about your walk, not a work. But to us, it's a work. And so what we do is we focus on these things. How many people can I get saved? And we go, but listen. Where's God really focus on that? You know, I mean, he does a few times in the scripture, but if the rest of it kind of focuses more on your walk. And here's what the Christians run. This is where they get off path, so to speak, and run astray, is they start focusing on the work instead of the walk.
They take their eyes off Jesus when they're on the water.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about your walk with God. Now, when you walk with God, he's going to give you a work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that you're going to do is going to be a greater work than's bigger than you. And it's going to be a work that he's going to do through you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're walking with him and you're focused on your walk, you're going to live by the brook Cherith for a while. And I just preached on this here not too long ago. The brook Cherith means separation. It's a place of emptiness and where God kind of strips you down, takes everything away from you, and you're living off raven's food. You know, it's nasty. And so sometimes you're going to live by that. And sometimes you're going to be marched right into Mount Carmel, and you're going to call fire down from heaven. Or you're going to face Goliath, and you're going to go through a fiery furnace or whatever. You're going to be up Peter, and you're going to be stuck in the middle of a boat in the middle of a storm. You're going to face situations that are bigger than you. But because you're focused on your walk, wherever he leads you, you follow. Mm-hmm. And whenever that happens, then he supernaturally does it through you. Like Elijah did, you just find yourself kneeling down saying, God, show yourself to be God. Because it's not about results for you. It's simply about your walk. And so without that, it's never going to be, you're not going to be spiritual. The second thing, to walk after the Spirit, not only does it imply it's a walk, not a work, the second thing we have to understand is it implies subjection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to be subject to something, when you're subject to something, means that you're prone to the influences that it brings. Okay, and you're prone to the influence that it brings. And when you're subject to that, so for example, if I'm subject to the wind outside today, then it's possible that I'm going to get cold, or I'm going to feel the draft of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're subject to the weather, you're going to be, you know, if it's beautiful out, you might get sunburnt because the sun's out or whatever. So you, when you're subject to the flesh, it means you're liable to be influenced by the flesh. When you're subject to the world, you're liable to be influenced by the world. But when you're subject to the Spirit, that means he's going to be your influence. And it means this, you're going to submit, you're going to surrender. And now you're God. It's not about the work. It's about you. It's about pleasing you and walking with you. It's about doing what you want me to do. And now you're like the man of God that shows up and says, you know, listen, God's told me to tell you this. Go get Ahab, and we're going to meet at Mount Carmel here, and we're going to talk about this problem of this famine, and we're going to see who's God's God, and gather the prophets of the groves and the prophets of Baal and so forth, and all these things are going to happen, and it's not you that's done it. It's God through you, but it's because you're submissive, and that's a spiritual work. And if you read Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Life, he said this should be normal for a Christian, but it's not. It's not
hard.
Normal for me. I wished it was normal for me.
It's hard.
I know. It's because it
goes so against your nature.
It goes exactly. Yeah, that's so right. It goes so against your nature because we want to do.
And today's society is built around what feels comfortable for
mm-hmm.
us.
But we got to remember it's about what's done. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So how did you get saved? You come to the realization you can't do anything to save yourself. You simply realize that Jesus died for you in your place. It was done already, and you accepted it. So how you got saved is how you're supposed to live the Christian life. You don't have to do it. You come to Jesus and realize that he does it, or he's already done it, and you simply come to him, and you accept it and you accept that it's done. And that's faith.
And that's not just for lost people about being saved. That's about saved people who are truly starting to live that real Christian life.
Right? Yeah, that's the way we're supposed to live. And if we could ever get consistent enough to stay submissive and to stay in the Spirit,
we'll be just as good as you.
No, you know what? That's a low target to aim at and shoot a lot higher. And to be honest with you, if we could ever get to a place where we could do that consistently, we could have a handful of people that really turn a real town or a real, you know, state or whatever upside down, and they would be they'd be Elijah, you know, they'd be that kind of person. And
absolutely,
you know, and that's why D.L. Moody told his son, you know, the world's yet to see him what God can do with a man who's completely surrendered to him. And I think it was D.L. Moody, somebody had said that. And but anyway, though, we'll talk more about that next week or next time we do a podcast on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And
might do one on maybe forgiveness here pretty soon and stuff like that.
I think that'd be perfect. I think people struggle a lot with that and what guilt and condemnation is and stuff like that. We should
absolutely
talk about that.
Absolutely. So,
well, anyway, let's go ahead and wrap it up here today. Remember, we're going to give away, if you contact us through Twitter, if you contact us, even if you contact us through our email address, fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com, or to my work email for the church is robbinsman25@gmail.com. You could contact us at either of those emails, or you could just, once again, get us on Twitter, @ByTheBlood1 or @TylerRobbins, TylerRobbinz. I'm going to get you a free mug or a free shirt. And if you do get a shirt, I think we have a couple different colors we can offer, a couple different sizes, I might ask you.
Well, I hope we got different sizes.
I hope so. Well, we give them all a men's 2X or something, you know. But, yeah. You know.
Some poor lady then needs a small. And
yeah, some lady's 4'11" gets a, you know, 2XL men's shirt.
or a guy who needs an extra large or 2X and gets a small. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But anyway, we'll give it out. I mean, just contact us. We'll get you something for free. We want to promote this as much as possible. We want you to be able just to be proud of what you listen to. Thank you so much for being with us today, Pastor.
Yeah, we really just wanted to be a blessing to people. We want to be life. I'm trying to know more about the life of Christ, and whenever I come across that, I just want to share with everybody I possibly can, because
absolutely,
if it's life to me, I know it'll be life to other people. And you know, I remember my pastor saying years ago, just walk in the light you have, and that's what I'm doing, is I'm trying to walk in the light of God, and there's a lot more wiser people out there than me by far, and I'm the least of my brethren, there's no doubt about it, but I'm just trying to share it with people. So
absolutely.
But absolutely.
Anyway, I thank you, Levi, for coming in today.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
I know you had to skip a trap shooting event for this. So.
Oh, yeah. It's worth it, though.
Yeah, well, terrible weather outside, too. Doesn't help, you know, in fact, they canceled it. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, once again, if you guys want to reach out to us, feel free. Once again, our email addresses are fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com, robbinsman25@gmail.com. Twitter accounts are ByTheBlood1 and @TylerRobbins, TylerRobbinz. You can also reach out to us through our website, bytheblood.org, or you can just mail us at 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa, 50616. If you need counseling, need to tell us testimony, just need somebody to pray for you, reach out to us at any of those locations. If you just want to drop us a phone call, our phone number is 641-228-5362. We look forward to hearing from you. Remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.